Let's see what Paul has to say about that.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Schneider Orange Hotline is where we're going to find Paul Immig, green and gold analyst, here on the Bill Michaels Show. Paul, what do you think of that? If the Packers try and change things around a little bit and just absolutely beast up defensively against what I think is a suspect Bears offense.
Well, I'm trying to think football right now, but all I can actually think is 8-5-5-8-5-5.
Yeah, blame Joe on that.
8-5-5-8-5-5-8-5-5-8-3-0-8-6-4-8.
Those are the real words to that song, too, or numbers, as it were.
I agree with Joe. That's awesome entertainment. So, Joe, keep recording him when he's not aware of it. Okay, to football. Tim, I think what the Rams probably thought going into this past weekend was certainly not that they were going to put up single-digit points against the Bears. And I think they probably said, hey, if we can hold Chicago to 15, isn't that what the Bears finished with against the Rams 15?
Yep.
They probably figured, geez, I mean, we only allow 15 points. We're going to win by 10 minimum. And it was a much different story. And I think... If the Packers argue, I mean, I think I would disagree with what your take was on that, only in the sense that I think what Chicago has clearly molded its identity to be, and not like, you know, a mid-tier NFL team identity, but like, are we seriously talking about them as an NFC contender type of identity?
Right.
As being a defensive juggernaut. I mean, Akeem Hicks is as good of a defensive lineman as you're going to find outside of Aaron Donald in the league. Khalil Mack has obviously made a huge difference. They're having a great year out of Kyle Fuller, who was darn near a Packer, if not for the offer being matched by the Packers. They are a beast of a defensive team, and to go into Chicago and even put up 10 points is apparently easier said than done right now.
No. I understand that, but yeah. Wouldn't forcing the Bears to turn the ball over, let's just say for the sake of the argument that they have, you know, two or three big third down stops on a sack and maybe two or three turnovers. I'm talking about the Packers defensively. Yeah. Wouldn't that give you then more opportunities? Because the more opportunities you get, even against a good to great defense, it still is going to mean, you know, that 14 to 17 point range. Just give the Packers offense more opportunities and more possessions with the football.
Yeah, it for sure would. I think the only problem with that is, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, so give or take one on this stat, but the Bears have 34 takeaways this year.
Yep.
The Packers have 14.
You got to force more.
And that's just not who I don't think this Packers team is right now. We saw a great play from Bashaud Breeland this past Sunday that wasn't just a takeaway, but a pick six. To reinvent maybe your own, and now speaking about Green Bay's identity on the fly and trying to say, like, hey, if only we could create three turnovers, they're not even averaging more than one turnover, not even 1.1. Like, they're a one turnover per game if they're lucky.
I get it. Desperate times, desperate measures, man. I think, though, if you try defensively, the scheme for the Packers,
yeah,
if you just try to play it man up and do your job sort of football, I don't think that's going to be good enough against, again, I do have some issues with the Bears offense. I just don't think with the points that may be limited for the Packers offense, I don't think it's going to be good enough.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying, if I was to, try to interpret more of it, is that because the Bears are, you're basically treating the Bears then like such a significantly superior team that you, the Packers, especially defensively and Mike Pettine, should rewrite their own strategy and playbook because, hey, if you're going to beat the better team, if you're going to play the underdog card, you have to almost change everything you do.
Not everything, but just have some things shake out a little bit different.
Yeah, and probably the only way to do that, though, to your original statement was, you know, hey, every play is a six-man rush. And if it works, great. And if it turns out into 50-yard plays, then that's the counter to that. And I, you know what, Tim, you know, as we talk about, I mean, I don't think it's what they're going to do, but you know, I just wonder if, you know, again, this is not a Chicago offense that's the part that's going to carry them however far they go in the playoffs. It's going to be their defense. And so I just wonder if you let Trubisky try to beat you, you know, and you basically dare him to throw the balls that he might throw, whether it's a three-man rush or a six-man rush. And again, you know, it kind of reminds me like almost of week one in the Bears game. And to be honest, most NFL games, what the Packers do in the first half, defensively, offensively, you name it, isn't necessarily what's going to happen in the second half. You couldn't have had a more decisive first half than you did in week one, Green Bay, Chicago up at Lambeau Field. And when the two teams come out, Rodgers hobbles his way out, does a two-step drop game, and the whole thing looks different. Khalil Mack went from having, what, three takeaways in the first half alone to being invisible in the second half. So maybe it's something that, you know, I would, you know, it's 10-0 at halftime and you're Mike Pett and you say, you know what, screw it. Our season's on the line.
Right.
What do we have to lose? Let's go. I would applaud the idea, and I think I don't know if you institute it from jump, you know, from kickoff.
But, right.
If we saw that, Tim, I would be like, Mike Pettin, man, way to go. I mean, I would love it, you know, just selfishly watching the game. I would be like, hey, man, good for you. Way to, you know, throw all your chips in the middle of the table. So, it's a cool thought. And honestly, I wonder if they do get down double digits, you know, 10-13, if it may realize, hey, we need a defensive score or a main defensive takeaway to turn the tide of this game, then hey, let's go for it. So, let's see if Patton gets crazy.
This is a noon kick, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah, and it's really too bad that this isn't a night game, because and even if it's not, your thought on the mindset of Aaron Rodgers I consider this, although not a night game, I consider this a big stage game, at least in our world,
yes,
our neck of the woods. I just wonder if how much relishing in the thought that Aaron Rodgers has of this challenge. I almost envision this wry smile out of him, like, yeah, okay, I've had bigger challenges than this. Let's go, baby.
Yeah.
What do you think his thoughts are heading into this game?
Well, a couple things. One, Rodgers doesn't lose at Soldier Field, and I think Aaron, knows that. You know, it's just so rare that he goes in there. I mean, go back to the 2013 Week 17 game when, you know, they have the miraculous 50-yard whatever play to Randall Cobb to win and win the division at 8-7-1. It seems no matter how far the chips are stacked against Rodgers and the Packers when they're in Chicago, they find a way to do it, even dating back to their Super Bowl run in 2010 when they went in Chicago and won in the snow game. So I'm sure that is a quiet confidence that he's going to kind of swagger into with, just because, hey, he's done it so many times. I think anything that's happening in the recent days, weeks, months following Mike McCarthy's firing is part of what's going to write Aaron Rodgers' legacy story. You know, his autobiography one day, or someone's biography that they write of him one day, it's going to be, you know, the immediate aftermath of the post-Mike McCarthy era. Game one so far in Atlanta, he played well. I don't think he played like, you know, turned his whole season around. He should have thrown two interceptions if the Falcons would just catch passes that go right to them. You know, if those two passes are intercepted, you know, how differently are we reflecting about the way Rodgers played? He still only had 198 passing yards, only still like a 6-point-something, you know, yards per pass attempt. It wasn't like great numbers, but hey, the Packers won. They won decisively. He played well. He had a season high in his rushing yards. And I think now you go into Chicago, keep in mind, too, the Packers can't win on, but at least haven't won on the road this year. And that is the last thing that I think that Rodgers ever would want to have on his career resume, is an 0-8, let's say he sits out the final game or something, if they're out the playoff chase, 0-7, 0-8 type road season. That's just not something that elite quarterbacks have on their resume. So I think there's not just their own personal playoff hopes, but I think those, you know, the mentality of, you know, from Aaron's perspective, I don't lose in Chicago. You know, I just don't do it. And then adding on to that, that every piece of this is part of the legacy, both currently and in the future, of looking back and saying, you know, as soon as Mike McCarthy was gone, Rodgers did this. You know, he followed up game X with game Y. And I think it's hugely important just for, I mean, obviously for their, you know, small chance this year of making the playoffs, but also for where he's going to, you know, maybe how he's going to be remembered and how the difference between with Mike McCarthy and without Mike McCarthy. And this is the early chapters of that second stage.
All right, final thing, Paul Emig. Which has the better chance, the rest of the NFC to fall right for the Packers to get into the playoffs, or getting this win against the Bears to get in?
I think just the odds would tell you it's going to be it's a better chance the Packers will win this game than for every other domino to perfectly fall. Do you guys know the spread? I mean, how much are they underdog by?
Six or seven? Six and a half?
Six.
That doesn't seem that bad, really. I mean,
it's really not that bad.
No, it's not. I give the Packers a chance in this game, Tim. I watched the Bears play against the Rams, and I said on several occasions watching it, wow. I started to take them. I thought there was an obvious, very clear, it's going to be the Saints or the Rams in the Super Bowl for the NFC. A 98% chance of one of those two teams. And then I said, man, I don't think the Rams want to host the Bears in the divisional round or even the NFC championship round. I still would probably think the Saints would handle any of these teams in New Orleans in the Dome, but I started taking them very seriously. But I mean, having said that, I don't put this game at all in like the Packers. Again, you go back to week one, you don't think that's in the Bears' head. I mean, they're 9-4. They'd be 10-3 if they didn't let a 20-point, 17-point, whatever it was, halftime deficit and a hobbled Aaron Rodgers come out and beat them and, you know, seemingly at the time reverse the course of their respective seasons. Now, of course, it didn't end up going that way for either team, but you sure thought the way that second half played out, it's the Bears and the Packers. It's the Bears and Rodgers. Here we go again. He's going to dominate them. So for everything else to fall right, Tim, is such a long shot. But
I don't know about that.
You're feeling it. You're feeling lucky.
The Eagles, Redskins, and Panthers, pfft. I think that the trump card here is that Minnesota team. That's the one. They're going to have to let them in. But more for another conversation. Paul Immig, Green and Gold analyst. Hey, we appreciate it, and we'll talk soon, all right?
Hey, what's that call-in number again for people?
Jeez. Yeah, no, don't. No. I can just say it to you and not sing it to you. Thank you, Paul.
Oh, okay. All right.
See you later. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider, hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Here's a phone number for you. Call them, 800-44-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.